Okay. We're going to go ahead and get started tonight. It does not matter about the numbers because we know that God's in the midst. The Holy Spirit is here. And there are others out there that we're being connected to by the Spirit. And I just want to open up in prayer. Father God, we continue to praise your name. We thank you, Lord, for everything you've done for us. And Father God, we want to lift up now our pastors, Jerry and Laverne. And God, we praise your name for your mighty hand that has been over him for so many years. And that the strength that you give Laverne and the blessings that we get from them because they've been so faithful to you and your word. And now, as a group, we pray in agreement that your hand will once again cover them and that anything they need, you're going to take care of, that the devil is a liar and they will find nothing wrong, and that he'll be instilled with the strength of the Holy Spirit. And we lift them up to you and we praise your holy name for your word and your promises and what you are going to do, what you have done, and what you will do. And we put our trust in you, Father God, and we give you praise, honor, and glory in Christ's name. Amen. We're going to finish up tonight with praise. And you know, it just seems that and I'm not going to quit teaching on it because circumstances are changing. God has said that he wants me to move on to another subject now. And so I'm not stopping praising. And I will praise God when I open up my meetings. I will praise God on Sunday morning, irregardless of what the circumstances look like. And knowing that God is faithful and true, and his word is so true. His word is so true. You know, we talked last week, just a little bit of remembrance. We need to remember that we are priests and saints of our most holy God. And that we are priests and saints not because of the robes of righteousness we made for ourselves, because our robes are as filthy rags. We wear the robes of righteousness because the blood of Jesus Christ streamed down that cross for us, and that blood covers our sins, and he gives to us a robe of righteousness that he made. And because of that robe of righteousness, we are priests, covered also with salvation. And salvation is just not getting saved. It's God taking care of us all through our life. He's there with us on a daily basis all through our life. It is financial prosperity. It is health. It is good, strong relationships. It's being assembled with people of the church that we love and we trust. And it's anything else that we need. Any need that we think of, salvation is that one big thing that Christ gave to us on the cross. And we learned that the word for Hebrew means to rejoice and be glad and be greatly happy. Be greatly happy. And there's nothing that says that we are to be greatly happy only when our circumstances matches the rejoicing in our heart, because that's not what we're supposed to do. We also learned that praise, and if you all don't get anything else out of the teachings I've done these past weeks about praise, I guess this is the point that I really want everyone to know. You know, it says in Ephesians that we're supposed to put on the whole armor of God, and that we we don't fight against flesh and blood, and that we have weapons that will go against the enemy, which is Satan. We do not fight against flesh and blood. We fight against the spirit of Satan. And he provides us with weapons that will hold back Satan and his army. And those weapons can't be our carnal nature. We can't go out and pick out guns and knives and think that we're going to go out there and mow down the army of Satan when someone's really sick or someone is needing such desperate prayer. We can't go in there and get our guns and our knives and what everyone else considers weapons. We can't even use our fist or our mouth if it's done in the flesh. And because we may say something in our flesh that might make the situation worse. So sometimes we have to pray to God, tell me what words to say. And I'm not sure exactly which way I'm going, but one of the ones that is really coming to me is how the words of our mouths can hurt and cannot be used as a weapon against Satan. Now, if we're quoting the word Bible, folks, yes, the words of our mouth are a strong, strong weapon, but not the words of our flesh. That's not some of the weapons either. Our weapons are not carnal. They are spiritual. And there's the number one is the word. And the truth of the word, and that the words of our mouth speak out only what the word says. You know, Jesus, the Son of God, he even told people, I only speak what my Heavenly Father tells me to. He's the Son of God, and he wouldn't even open up his mouth and let anything come out that he did not know would not please the Heavenly Father. And I have to be honest, I've said some things today that did not please the Heavenly Father. They weren't super bad things, you know? But when I thought about it, I thought, Martha, watch your mouth. And one of the greatest, hardest things about our mouth a lot of times is with our family. And I got this T-shirt. My friend gave it to me. She knows me well. And it says, Lord, put your arms around my shoulders and your hands over my mouth.
I have that sign that I've taken to
work. Well, I've got a T-shirt, and I'm going to start wearing it to my family get-togethers. I am. First one being tomorrow night. And my brother's coming home. And I have been joking. My mother has been as depressed and dulled, and I'm talking dulled, no interest in anything, doesn't want us doing anything, has fussed with us over a lot, and now she is pushing herself. I'm talking pushing. She has cooked things that she has not tried to cook since her episode in December. And when we tried to encourage her to do more, she said, I have not felt right since December. I am old and worn out, and I think you all need to quit pushing me. Okay. But her son is coming home from North Carolina. And he is a decent man. But she has not heard his voice since January. Because he don't call. He don't write. He don't text. You know, that's the way some men are. They leave it up to the wife. But you would think the king is coming. And I'm not talking about the King of Kings. And so I'm having to just, you know, because I'm the one that gets fussed at, because I'm the one that's there all the time. But I'm glad he's coming home, and I'm glad my mother's happy. But what I would give to see that kind of joy on her face when I walked in the door. So my flesh sometimes gets wounded, and my mouth opens up. So that's why we can't trust the weapons of our mouth in our fleshly emotional thing. And so I kind of said, not bad, just maybe 4 or 5 words. And then I said, I shouldn't have said it. And it is the truth. I shouldn't have said it. And I thank God that the more that me and him talk about my mouth, the more quicker the Holy Spirit drops in my spirit, you should not have said that. And then I can apologize immediately and not leave the offense there. So if there's anybody out there that struggles with the words of your fleshly mouth, I may teach on that, because, and then we'll talk about the words of our mouth in regards to God's weapon. But one of the weapons we have at our disposal that we can pick up at any time is the weapon of praise. And that's what I want people to get from this Bible study, is how strong. I have felt such a strength the last several weeks that I've been studying that and getting into the praise and worship service here at church and praising God, making that a morning routine. I get up between 5 and 5:30 almost every morning. Don't set my alarm clock. It's just the way my body has gotten acclimated. And because, you know, since I had my gastric bypass, I have to do these little things. And one of them is I have to drink a hot drink in the morning, chicken bouillon tea or whatever, not drink hot tea. And so while I'm sitting there drinking my hot tea, not a whole lot on TV at that time of the morning, you know, that I care much about watching. So that's a good time to sit and read. And I have to sip on my tea. It takes me about an hour to drink my tea and take my medicine. And then I have to wait an hour before I eat. So then that gets me my breakfast at 7. So that's why I get up between 5 and 5:30. And so I have started including in this tea drinking time praising. Yes. And I praise. And I'll say, God, thank you for doing such a miracle in Antonio. And thank you for him being such a wonderful husband to my daughter and a father to my children. And Father God, I want to thank you for a mother who taught us about you, even though it was incorrect, a lot of it was. But I did have a mother that I knew would always be home when I came home from school. There would always be food 3 times a day. I would have a bed, you know. So even though there were some issues, she'll say to me, didn't I ever do anything right? And yeah, she did. She did, you know. She was, her family always came first and foremost. And so, yes, she did. So I thank for that. I thank God for his word. I thank God for his son. I thank God for America. As messed up as it is right now, there's other countries that I wouldn't want to go move to. I'm not one of these that'll say I'm going to move to Canada because I don't like what is going on in America, because Canada has its issues, and even Great Britain has their issues. You know, they got a lot of socialized medicine and things. And you know, people say, oh, well, I hear that Sweden and Finland and Norway are good countries, and I'm sure they are. But, you know, it's not where God placed me. I'm not going to run away from where God placed me. Now, if he told me, I want you to move, then I would go. And that is the truth. I would go. What we can't run away from something that God has placed us in. And right now he's placed me here. And he's placed me at New Life. And that's another thing. I don't know why these thoughts are coming like this. Maybe that's what I'm going to teach on relationships in the church. You can't the church are full of human beings. Did you all know that?
Yeah.
We're saved. We're filled with the Holy Spirit. We're covered by the blood of Jesus Christ. But we're human.
Mm-hmm.
So that means that sometimes we might rub each other the wrong way. And I remember Bill Smith did a wonderful teaching years ago about diamonds that are coal that turns into mm-hmm. diamonds, and that
pressure.
Right, pressure and the rubbing away mm-hmm. of stuff. And part of that is the relationships with one another. And so I go through and I thank people for new life. And some people, if things don't go exactly 125% their way, they go looking for another church. When God places you somewhere, you stay until God says it's time to go. You don't run away when the circumstances get shaky or look bad if God has told you to stay there. If anyone had a right to run away, it was Jesus Christ. He was tormented by as many people as loved him when he was teaching. And he kept teaching. He kept going into places that rejected him, his own hometown, number one. And he kept doing the will of the Father, even though the circumstances were hard for him. And that's where we are. And so in order to get through what we're going to be facing in America, and I don't know how long. I can't say how long. You know, people are asking me, how long is this COVID going to be around? The Spanish influenza that happened back during World War One, it was active for about 2 years before it completely went away. It would have spikes and stuff. Of course, we're talking World War One, so the soldiers carried it a lot of places. But it took about 2 years, 18 months to 2 years, to actually get to where they could say the influenza, Spanish influenza of 1918 in there, was over with. Could COVID be around for 2 years? It could. Do we need to pray against it? Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
But we don't run away. Not unless God tells us to go. And so in order to get through with whatever you're facing tonight, be it whether you're in the hospital, whether you're at home sick, whether the bills are piling up, whether you've got eviction notices, whatever is going on in our land, whatever is going on in your community, whatever is going on in your church, whatever is going on in your family, you have the weapon of praise. And you want to get yourself up over those circumstances, and you don't want them to press you down, start praising. You'll feel something different. You will. And after you praise long enough for something, even the things that was hard for you to initially praise him, like, I praise God for this, and you're thinking, I don't really like that person, God. I didn't say you had to like them. I said you had to praise them. You know, praise me for them. And eventually you'll see them different. You'll find yourself praying for them instead of this irritation and frustration that comes along. You will find yourself praying for them. And so, yes, that's the one thing I want everyone to get out of that, is that praise is a powerful weapon in our arsenal of weapons that are not carnal. And we talked about that it is our choice to not let the spirit of heaviness keep us in bondage. And the only way to open up that prison of heaviness that can get down on us and that can lead us into deep depression is to use praise, to put on the garment of praise. It's like a key that we can unlock that spirit of heaviness in our life. Pastor? Okay, we'll do that afterwards. I want to go to Psalms 22, verse 3. All right, is it okay if I talk about that over this? All right. Miss Linda just got a message from Miss Laverne, and we're going to stop right now. What the words I have to teach on are the words of God, but when someone asks you for prayer and you are in a position where you can do it, hit those walls right then.
Right then, yeah.
Hit them right then. And Miss Linda just got a message from Laverne that said we need to pray for Pastor that he does not get exposed to COVID. My heart reaches out for that. And also, he's being sent to Louisville for heart symptoms, and he may need a heart cath. And of course, Laverne, who is his other part of him, cannot go and be with him. And that's not just Pastor, that's the hospital rules. And that can be difficult too, especially when one is such a strength to each other, the way that that marriage is bound together. So we're going to just go right now into prayer. We're going to go into prayer for Pastor Jerry and Miss Laverne. Father God, we thank you, Lord, that we can take this word and we can come against the gates of hell and against Satan, who once again wants to shut up our pastor's voice. And Satan, you know, Pastor Jerry and Laverne are not going to give in. I don't care what tricks that you play. He is here to minister the word of God until God says it's over, and God and only God. And so now, Father God, we thank you that he is protected. You have got a like a rubber shield on him, his whole body covered in this rubber shield that the COVID virus cannot get through. It does not matter where the COVID virus is. It cannot attack our pastor. And we come to you, God, knowing you have healed his heart and healed his heart and healed his heart. And guess what, God? You will heal it again. You don't ever run out. That's what's wonderful about you, God. You never run out. It doesn't matter how many times we pray. Your healing touch never runs out. And Father God, we pray right now that as you are fixing his heart, if he has to have a heart cath to prove that you have fixed his heart, that heart cath will only be a small discomfort to our pastor. And it will be done and over with without any complications. And he will be home and he will be in our midst once again and be in our community once again and be with Miss Laverne. Because, God, we know you can do it. I don't care what the medical report says. I don't care what the COVID reports say. I believe in the word of God. And those of us who are praying right now are praying in agreement and bringing forth your word into the battlefield that Satan has set up. We thank you, Father God. We praise your holy name. We are so thankful that you have given us weapons of warfare to come against it. And tonight we praise you, God. We praise you for our ministers. We praise you for New Life. We praise you for Sister Shirley. We thank you, Father God, for the brothers and sisters that call this their church. We come to you, God, singing hallelujahs and holy are you, Lord. We thank you for Jesus Christ and the blood. We praise your holy name. We end this prayer request with praising you. With praising you, God, with everything that you are to us. You are our shield. You are our surroundings. You protect us from pestilence, and you protect us in the middle of the night, and you protect us in the noonday. And Father God, we know what we have seen. We know the miracles you have done, and we know that you can keep doing them. God, you are stronger. You are stronger than any force that can hit America, that can hit this community. And we lift you up and we praise your holy name and we send out the name of God. There is only one God and it is you. We thank you, Father God, and lift up the name of Jesus Christ, another weapon in our warfare. Satan, you have to run when you hear the name of Jesus Christ. Satan, you have to run when you see the blood of Jesus Christ. You can't stand in the midst of the word of Jesus Christ. And we thank you for that. And we praise your name and thank you for the Holy Spirit that gives us strength and wisdom and guides us. Father God, honestly, we could not make it through a day without you. We could not. You are our breath. You are the strength that gives us the ability to put one foot in front of the other. It is you, God. And we hold you up and we honor you and we give you praise and glory. And we're expecting a great testimony that's going to be shared in Pastor Jerry and Pastor Laverne's life. We thank you, Father God, and we praise your holy name. And we praise the holy name. We don't praise the fact that our pastor's in the hospital, right? We don't praise that.
No.
But guess what? We praise God in the midst of it, and we praise God that we know the answers. And we praise God that we know who we can put our pastors into. And we put him in the hands of God. In the hands of God. And that's where that's how you need to pray and praise together. And sometimes it is very difficult to do. Very difficult. It takes effort to do it. Psalms 22. Let's go to Psalms 22. Psalms 22. And I'm going to start with, let's start with verse 1. This is a Psalm of David, and it's entitled in my Bible, which is the Spirit-filled Bible, The Suffering, Praise, and Posterity. Posterity means like a legacy, ongoing. In the natural, our posterity would be like our children and our children's children and things that we're sending forward. But it's the suffering, praise, and posterity of the Messiah. And what hit me about that title and how they entitled it was the words suffering and praise being in the same sentence. That doesn't sound very logical. Now, does it? Suffering and praise? Yes, our Messiah suffered. But you know, our Messiah praised also. He praised from the cross. He praised from the cross. And it says, my God, my God. Now, this is in Psalms. Now, did Psalms come before the New Testament? It did. Psalms is the Old Testament. It was written years before Jesus came on the scene. And I want you to listen to this. David got a lot of his psalms in regards to prophecy from God. And you will see him foretelling the coming of Jesus Christ as a prophecy. He did psalms, but he also had prophecies. Isaiah was a prophet that did prophecies, and we know that. David was never entitled a prophet because he wasn't a chosen prophet of that time. He was the king. But here, God dropped into him about the coming of Jesus Christ or the Messiah. And it says, my God, my God, why have you forsaken me? Who else said that? Jesus said that from the cross. My God, why have you forsaken me? He said it because he took every one of my sins, which would have been enough for any one man to take on himself. Sherry, he took your sins. I don't think there's very many, but he did. He took them. He took your sins, Linda. He took every human being's sins that has ever been born. You know how many million, trillion, zillion people that is? And he took all our sins upon him. The perfect Lamb of God who was without sin. He didn't sin. He chose to take our sins. And see, God can't look full face upon sin. So there for a moment, I thank God I had to turn his eyes away. And as a father, he may have felt some grief. You know? And for a brief moment, Jesus felt alone. Because he was on that cross, covered with all the sins of every human being that has ever been born. And people don't think of Jesus doing that. And what a feeling he must have felt for the first time in his life. And he did say from the cross, my God, why have you forsaken me? But then he turns around. And he realizes why he was doing it. And it does say in the Bible that he found it joy to do all of that for us. And he still had full trust in his Father. He knew his Father hadn't surely forsaken him. He knew that. But here's David crying out now. My God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from helping me and from the words of my groaning? See, David's going through something. He's mourning. He's groaning. He's sad. And he's been seeking God. And he just feels like God is not around, that God has forgotten him. Are any of you all feeling anything like that right now? Martha, you don't know how much I've prayed. I just don't feel God hears me. I've even said this myself. Well, I'll pray, but it feels like my prayers just hit the ceiling and come right back down. I don't think they get to God. I've said that before during my, you know, I've said it. I may say it again. I pray I don't, because we have to pray in faith. Satan wants us to think that God isn't hearing our prayers. But there's been times I said, I don't feel like my prayers even getting through the ceiling. And it can be, then it turns into discouragement. And then it turns into doubt. Well, is God really going to hear me? Or have I done something wrong and God's not going to hear me? These are tools of Satan that he does. And this feeling of being alone and God not hearing us and not being with us. Thank you for reminding me of that. Brother Jerry, I just want to remind you, you may be alone in that hospital. But the word of God says that Jesus says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. And that's the way it is with us. When we feel that God is not there, we have now the New Testament, which says that Jesus said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. And Jesus does not lie. So if we feel that we're alone and he has forsaken us, then all we have to do is turn around and say, Satan, you're a liar. You are a liar. The word of God tells me that Jesus will never leave me nor forsake me. I may not feel him in my flesh, but I claim it by faith that he has never left me nor forsaken me. He is right there with me. He is right there with me. But here's David now. That's why I love David in the Psalms. He is so human. He is like us. I mean, what he says here, I may not use the exact words, but I've had the same emotions. My God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from helping me and from the words of my groaning? Oh, my God, I cry in the daytime, but you do not hear. And in the night season, and am not silent. I mean, he's crying all day and all night. It goes on and on with David. Whatever he's going through right now, he is so weighted down. He's not sleeping good. He cries all day. Is there nobody that has ever been in that position before? We have words for it now. Depression, post-traumatic stress disorder, grief, overwhelming grief, so many names on it. And that's where David was. Now, doesn't he sound like he's in a pretty sad shape? All right, for anybody that's in that kind of shape right now, that's listening to this and that will listen to it in the future, let's see what David says. And I want you to take the circumstances of your life that has got you in the position of David, where you feel like God's not hearing, God's not listening, things are bad, you're crying day and night, you can't sleep, things are just bad. And here is the key to things changing. Verse 3, let's start in verse 3. But you, capital Y. Now, this is David talking to God after he's just said, God, you're not hearing my prayers. Where are you at? You don't hear my groanings. I'm up all day and night, and you're not there, and you're not going to help me. Why aren't you helping me? And what does he go on to say? But you are holy. That's a praise. You want to know how to praise? That's a good word. That's a good sentence. But you are holy. You are enthroned or sitting on a throne in the praises of Israel. Now, when we get saved, we become Israel. God is enthroned. He sits on a throne of our praises. When our praises come up, see it as a huge throne, and God is on it. It says, you are holy, enthroned in the praises of Israel. That's how strong our praises are, people. Our fathers trusted in you. And if you say, well, my parents never even took me to church, they didn't trust. Mm-hmm. Well, have you ever seen God do anything in your life? That's when you say, God, I have seen you do a miracle, and I know you can do it again. Or, I have seen how so-and-so at church, and sister so-and-so, and brother so-and-so at church trusted in you, and look what you've done. You can recall things that God has done. But a lot of people like to take it, and they like to nitpick it, and they'll say, our fathers. Well, my father never took me to church. My mother never took me to church. I didn't know about God until I was 30 or 40 years old. Well, somebody in your life trusted in God. And you call forth, and you say, I know. Read it in the Bible. Find the heroes of the Bible. Noah, Abraham, all the people in the Bible that trusted in God. He just wants you to say, I know people have trusted you. Our fathers trusted in you. They trusted and you delivered them. Father God, I give you praise. Pastor, you have healed Pastor's heart before, and you're going to heal him again. Isn't that what they're kind of saying? You did it before, that you delivered them.
It's already been done.
It's already been done. You're right, Sherry. Absolutely. They cried to you. They cried to you. Anybody crying out to God? And what did God do, according to verse 5? And they were delivered. Man, it happened. When they cried out to God, they were delivered. You want to sing a praise? You say, Father God, I give you this prayer request, and I know that you are going to deliver me. How do I know that? Your word says you do. They trusted in you and were not ashamed. Uh-oh. You go around telling people you're sick and you're in the hospital, and then someone says something about, you know, praying, and you don't say, oh yeah, I believe in prayer. You better believe I want somebody praying for me. Maybe not you, because they're being real negative about it. And they're saying, I have something I'm going to share later on. I'm not going to get into it tonight, because it really has to do with more of watching your mouth as Christians. But I had someone to say to me, she said it to me before numerous times. She's my Jewish friend, by blood. She's a born, her parents were Jews. She was born in New York City. She has that New York blunt attitude. Her first husband was an Orthodox Jew, and I've been to their house for Passover. She thinks all of it's crazy. Judaism, Christianity. And she has said to me before, Martha, you are, now this lady is a member of Mensa. We're talking intelligent, most intelligent person I have ever worked for. She mentored me in my job, and I learned so much from her. But I had to carry a dictionary around with me for a while. Yeah. But she said to me, well, you're one of the most intelligent nurses I've ever worked with, Martha. Well, thank you. So how can somebody with your intelligence believe in all this Bible stuff and this virgin birth? And we would talk. And never once did God tell me to raise my voice, to thump her over the head with the Bible, to do anything. Because you see, what she does is she'll say, now I heard that you're Jesus. Mm-hmm. And I answer her questions. Now, is that witnessing? Maybe not in the fullest sense of the term, but it gives me a chance. And she listens to me.
And she listens because you're not screaming.
You got it. And we talk. And I ask her, why did you turn against Judaism? Why do you think this? Why do you think that? And we talk. Well, she's been in Israel for 2 years. She has a son-in-law who is of the tribe of Levi. And he is married to her daughter. And they have two children. So she goes and spends time with her grandchildren. I would. And so she's just gotten back, and that's the conversation I'm going to share sometime, what happened. And anyway, her 18-year-old granddaughter, and then she has a 16-year-old granddaughter. The 18-year-old, of course, is drafted. You get drafted when you turn 18, male, female, whatever. And her 18-year-old granddaughter is getting ready to go into active combat. And she's concerned. And so I said to her, I said, Marley, I'll pray for her. She said, do whatever makes you happy. It won't change the outcome. And I said, well, I will then, thank you. You know, did it offend me? No. Is it going to stop me from praying? No. because I pray that she sees and that her heart is open to God. And I know her well enough. You come across Bible thumping, she will shut you down. She will ask no more questions. Yes. So you see, I'm not ashamed of God. But I'm gonna ask God, how do I deal with this, and what do you want me to say? She's coming to my house sometime in the next 2 weeks, and we're gonna have lunch. She's gonna bring it to me. And people would say, you're gonna have her in your house? She's anti-Trump, pro-choice, a lot of things. And my mom said to me, you're gonna have her in your home? I said, absolutely. And she even asked me, she said, well, is it okay if I come to your house? I said, yeah, why not? And she said, well, you know, I believe. I said, I do. And I said, that's okay. I said, you see, my Jesus that you talk about, this is how I do it with her. I said, my Jesus, and it's hers too, by the way. My Jesus ate with the tax collectors, Marley. He invited Zacchaeus to get down out of the tree so that he could go to his house for tea with him. I said, he ran around in all sorts of places with demoniacs. I said, you are very welcome in my house. Now, there will be Christians that will say, do you feel like that's wisdom? But you know what? We have been friends for 30 years.
And you know what you believe.
And I know what I believe, and she knows what she believes, and we don't get offended. You see, he told me years ago, you all remember when The Passion of the Christ came out?
Mm-hmm.
Well, there were several people on the floor where we worked that was very vocal. Mm-hmm. And so she came up to me, and she said to me, are you upset with me because the Jews killed your Jesus? And she was a little cocky, but I had already heard everything else that had gone on.
Mm-hmm.
I said, no, I'm not upset. I said, why would I be? And she said, well, that's all I keep hearing is the Jews crucified your Jesus. And I said, well, Marley, my Jesus was a Jew, and he had to be crucified. And he did it for the Jewish people, and that's why everything happened the way it did. But upset? Absolutely not. Because you see, Marley, God made the plan, not me. And so then I went to see The Passion of the Christ, and she said to me the next morning, how did you like the movie? She didn't ask anybody else. And so, you know, we've never had a harsh word between the two of us on something that is so diverse. But I asked God when she first started saying things. I said, God, he said, I don't need for you to fight me with words. I'm big enough to take care of myself. See, I was wanting to protect my God. I was wanting to take up for my Jesus. When really what I need to show her and what I will continue to show her is what? The love of Jesus Christ. Anyway, I'm not ashamed. And so this last conversation, after ever how many years we haven't talked, then she brought it up again. And she said, I just can't believe. She said, I was telling so-and-so, that her second husband, I can't believe that somebody with that much intelligence believes all this about the Bible. And I said, well, Marty, I haven't changed my mind. That's what I said. I'm not ashamed. And she said, well, I haven't changed mine either. And I said, that's okay.
That's right.
Well, she doesn't.
She does change her mind, and that you will be able to bring her through.
See, she knows. She doesn't know the power of prayer.
No.
She don't know what I believe in regards to that. She knows I believe in prayer, but the secret behind it.
There you go.
Yes.
We'll have to pray too.
Yes, absolutely. And I'll share more about that because I'm going to do a Bible teaching night. They trusted in you and were not ashamed. Don't be ashamed of your God. But I am a worm. Oh, this is David now. I am a worm. And no man, a reproach of men, despised by the people. All those who see me, capital M, ridicule me, capital M. They shoot out the lip. You know what shooting out the lip means? They shake the head, saying, he trusted in the Lord. Let the Lord rescue him. Let him deliver him, since he delights in him. And these are capitals. But you are he who took me out of the womb. You made me trust while on my mother's breast, and I cast upon you from birth, from my mother's womb. You have been my God. And even though this is Jesus talking, David is saying these praises. You have been my God. Be not far from me, for trouble is near, for there is none to help. Mark that verse for yourself, and when things get hard in the near future, you go back and quote this. Be not far from me, and call it to yourself, for trouble is near. You feel like trouble is on your heels? Right here. And there is none to help. That's how we need to call upon God. Yeah, we can tell him, trouble's near. I have no help. There's nobody around. But thank you, God. Don't be far away from me. And then we go back and we remember the verse back in the New Testament that says, Jesus will never leave you nor forsake you. And you call upon that. Praise is the pathway into God's presence. If the circumstances has you down here and you cannot feel the presence of God, which in the first two verses of this chapter 22, David's not feeling the presence of God, is he? Not at all. But you want to get into the presence of God because you know that's where your strength comes from. You know that's where your answers come from. You want to get in the presence of God. You want to feel him. You feel like that he isn't listening to you. Then you start with verse 3. But you are holy, God, enthroned in the praises of Israel. Our fathers trusted in you. They trusted in you, delivered them. They cried to you and were delivered. They trusted in you and were not ashamed. And those verses alone will usher you into the praises of God. And any other verses that's here in Psalms, and any other verses that's here in the Bible, that hallelujah, God, you're our strength, you're our sword, and you're our shield. We have to get those sentences in our mouth, and we have to use them when trouble is near. And for some people, trouble has been very near this week. I'm talking very near. And I know that right now we're going to shut off because the hour's up. And what do I do? Okay. Here we go.